6 months from now, you'll either thank yourself or regret not starting today. Think about it. Half a year isn't a long time, but it's enough to turn your life in a completely new direction if you take it seriously. Most people keep telling themselves they'll change soon, and soon turns into years. The problem isn't that they can't change, it's that they don't have a clear, simple plan and the discipline to follow it. This 6-month success plan is built to change that. No fluff, no theory you can't use, just real steps that work in real life. You'll know what to focus on every single day, how to stay consistent when it's hard, and how to stop wasting time on things that don't help you. If you're tired of feeling stuck and ready to see real progress, give yourself 6 months with this plan. You'll be amazed at how much your life can change. Chapter 1. Choose one life change you will fully commit to. You can't transform your life in 6 months without choosing something specific to change and deciding to give it everything you have. That's the first step. The mistake most people make is they want everything to change at once, but they don't fully commit to one single direction. Without focus, you spread your energy thin, and the results you get are small, scattered, and often temporary. If you want 6 months to be a turning point in your life, you have to pick one thing that matters so much to you that you're willing to stay with it, no matter what comes your way. Think about it. There are areas in life, your health, your career, your finances, your relationships, your mindset. If you try to change all of them at the same time, you'll get overwhelmed. And when you're overwhelmed, you quit. But if you choose one major change, the impact from that change will start influencing the other parts of your life naturally. For example, if you commit to changing your health, you'll have more energy to work harder. If you commit to changing your finances, you'll create stability that reduces stress and helps you think clearly. The key is choosing one change that will create the biggest ripple effect for you right now. This isn't about guessing or picking something random. You have to take a serious look at your life and ask yourself, where am I hurting the most? What's the one thing that, if I improved it, would make everything else easier or better? That's where you start. And once you decide, you make that decision non-negotiable. You don't keep questioning it every week. You don't keep wondering if it's the right choice. You choose and you commit. Commitment is not just saying, I'll try. Trying means you're giving yourself an easy way out. Commitment means you've burned the option of quitting. It means you've decided that this is the direction you're going for the next 6 months, and you'll adjust the details along the way, but you won't change the goal. This kind of decision has power. It changes how you act. It changes how you spend your time. It changes the people you talk to. It changes the way you think about each day, because you're no longer just going through the motions. You're building towards something clear. Here's the truth. Most people are afraid of this kind of commitment. They like the idea of change, but they don't like what it requires. It requires discipline. It requires sacrifice. It requires saying no to things that feel good in the moment, but take you away from your progress. And it requires staying with it even when it's not exciting anymore. But that's where real change happens, when you keep going long after the initial motivation fades. If you want this 6 months to matter, you have to make this change a priority in your daily life. That means scheduling it. That means giving it your best hours, not the leftover moments at the end of the day. It means protecting it from distractions. If your goal is to build a stronger body, you don't just fit in workouts when you can. You set the time, you show up, and you do the work, no matter how you feel. If your goal is to grow your income, you block out time every day to learn, to reach out, to practice your skills, and to take action on opportunities. The first few weeks will feel good. You'll be excited. You'll tell people about it. but somewhere along the way, the excitement will fade. That's when you have to remember, your commitment is not based on how you feel, it's based on the decision you made. Feelings change, they go up and down. If you follow your feelings, you'll quit as soon as it gets uncomfortable. If you follow your decision, you'll push through the discomfort, and on the other side, you'll find results that feelings alone could never give you. You also have to understand that commitment is built one day at a time. You don't wake up one morning with an unshakable commitment. It grows as you keep showing up. Every day you keep the promise you made to yourself, your confidence grows. Every day you follow through, you prove to yourself that you can be trusted. That's powerful, because when you trust yourself, you stop doubting every move you make. Now, some people will tell you to stay balanced and not go too hard when you commit to something. But if you're serious about transforming your life in 6 months, you have to lean into it. You have to let it be a big part of your identity for a while. Balance will come later. Right now, the priority is progress. That means you might have to spend less time with certain people. It might mean fewer social events, less entertainment, and more focus on your work. It's not forever, it's for 6 months. And when you see the results, you'll know it was worth it. You also have to protect your mind from doubt and negativity. When you commit to something big, there will be people who question it. They'll ask why you're working so hard. They'll say you've changed. And you have to be okay with that. You have to remember that you're not doing this for their approval. You're doing it because you know your life can be better than it is now. That's why you chose this change in the first place. One of the best ways to stay committed is to measure your progress. Don't just hope it's working, track it. If your goal is to improve your health, write down your workouts, your meals, your weight, your energy levels. If your goal is to grow your business, track your calls, your sales, your learning. When you can see your progress on paper, it becomes harder to quit because you see proof that what you're doing is working. Another key is to set milestones within the 6 months. If your change is big, break it into smaller goals. Aim for something every 2 weeks or every month that tells you you're moving forward. These small wins keep your momentum alive, and momentum is what carries you through the days when you feel like doing nothing. You also have to prepare for setbacks. They will come. No matter how committed you are, there will be days you mess up, days you miss, days you feel like you've lost progress. That's normal. The key is not to let a bad day turn into a bad week, or a bad week turn into quitting. You get back on track immediately. You don't wait for Monday. You don't wait for the perfect time. You simply start again, because that's what commitment looks like. It's not perfection, it's persistence. Over the course of 6 months, you'll notice changes not just in your results, but in yourself. You'll think differently. You'll handle problems with more confidence. You'll stop wasting time on things that don't matter. And that's when you realize that the change you committed to has done more than improve one part of your life. It has raised your entire standard. Choosing one life change to fully commit to is the foundation of your transformation. Without this step, the rest of the plan doesn't matter. But with it, you give yourself a clear direction. You focus your energy and you set yourself up for a win that can reshape your future. 6 months will pass whether you commit or not. The question is, will you let them pass while staying the same? Or will you use them to become the person you know you can be? The decision is in your hands, and the first move is to choose once, clearly, and without turning back. If you can do that, if you can choose one change and give it your full commitment, you've already taken the most important step in transforming your life. Everything else is built on this. This is where you prove to yourself that you're serious, that you're willing to do the work, and that you will see it through. no matter what happens in the next 6 months. Chapter 2. Set a non-negotiable daily action that builds momentum. If you want your life to move forward fast, you can't just rely on big moments of motivation. What really changes your future is the small, consistent actions you repeat every day without debate or delay. That's where a non-negotiable daily action comes in. It's the one thing you do no matter how you feel, no matter how busy you are, and no matter what distractions try to pull you away. This single action becomes your anchor. It builds momentum because momentum is not created by occasional effort. It's built by steady, repeated action that compounds over time. To make this work, you have to choose an action that directly supports your main goal. If your goal is to get fit, maybe it's doing a workout or preparing your meals in advance. If your goal is to grow your income, maybe it's making a set number of sales calls or spending an hour on skill development. The key is that it's specific, measurable, and tied to your bigger objective. This isn't about doing something vague like, work on my goal. It's about defining exactly what that means in a way that leaves no room for confusion. When you make this action non-negotiable, you remove the mental energy wasted on deciding whether to do it each day. Most people fail because they negotiate with themselves. They wake up, think about their schedule, and ask, should I do it now, later, or maybe tomorrow? That constant debate drains energy, and eventually, the excuses win. But when you treat your action as non-negotiable, it's no longer a choice. It's just part of your day, like brushing your teeth. You don't wait to feel ready. You don't wait for perfect conditions. You do it because it's what you do. The real challenge comes on the days you don't feel like doing it. Those are the days that define your transformation. Anyone can take action when they're motivated and rested. But the person who takes action when they're tired, stressed, or distracted is the one who builds unstoppable momentum. You have to understand that your emotions will shift, your energy will fluctuate, and life will throw interruptions your way. Your success comes from acting despite all of that. One of the most effective ways to stick to a non-negotiable daily action is to attach it to a specific time or trigger in your day. If you do it at the same time each day, your brain starts to expect it. It becomes a habit faster because you're not forcing yourself to figure out when every day. You wake up, you know what's coming, and you follow through. The less room you give for debate, the stronger your consistency becomes. Another important piece is to keep your action realistic. Non-negotiable doesn't mean massive. It means consistent. If your action is so big that it's hard to complete on tough days, you'll set yourself up for failure. Choose something you can always do, even when life gets chaotic. It's better to set a small daily action you can sustain than a big one you abandon after a week. Once the smaller action becomes automatic, you can increase the intensity or time. The important thing is to keep your streak alive. Tracking your daily action is another powerful tool. Keep a visible record of every day you complete it. This could be a calendar, a notebook, or a digital tracker. Seeing your progress builds pride and motivates you to keep going because you won't want to break your streak. That visual reminder turns your action into a chain of wins, and every day you add to it reinforces your identity as someone who follows through. You'll also notice that doing this one action consistently starts to change how you think about yourself. At first, it's just something you're trying to do, but after a while, it becomes part of your identity. You stop seeing yourself as someone who's trying to change and start seeing yourself as someone who lives with discipline. That shift in identity is what makes long-term change stick. It's also important to guard this daily action from interruption. That means setting boundaries with people, limiting distractions, and preparing in advance. If you wait until the moment to figure out how you'll make it happen, you leave space for excuses. Plan for it ahead of time. If your action is working out, set out your clothes the night before. If your action is writing, Have your workspace ready before you start. The fewer obstacles in your way, the smoother it will be to get started. Many people underestimate the power of a single, non-negotiable action. They think it's too small to make a difference. But the truth is, when you do it every day, it builds a rhythm. That rhythm creates momentum, and momentum is what carries you toward your bigger goals faster than you imagined. Without that daily anchor, you'll constantly stop and start, losing time and energy in the process. Your daily action should also challenge you just enough to matter. If it's too easy, it won't create growth. If it's too hard, you won't stick to it. Aim for the sweet spot, where it requires effort but is always achievable. That balance keeps you engaged without overwhelming you. Over time, you'll naturally raise the difficulty as you get stronger in that area. It's not enough to simply do the action, you have to do it with focus. Going through the motions without intention weakens the impact. When you do your daily action, be fully present. If you're working out, focus on your form and effort. If you're learning a skill, focus on understanding and applying it. The quality of your daily action will determine the quality of your results. As you continue, you'll notice the action starts to influence other choices you make during the day. If you start the day with your non-negotiable action, you'll often make better decisions afterward because you've already proven to yourself that you can follow through. That small win at the start of the day builds confidence and sets a standard for how you approach everything else. You have to remind yourself why this action matters. On tough days, when you feel like skipping it, think about what's at stake. Skipping one day might not seem like much, but it opens the door for skipping again. And once you break the streak, it's harder to rebuild. Protect your momentum like it's the most valuable thing you own, because in many ways, it is. Over 6 months, this non-negotiable daily action will do more than just move you toward your goal. It will train your mind to be consistent, disciplined, and resilient. You'll develop a level of self-control that makes every future goal easier to achieve. And perhaps most importantly, you'll know deep down that you can rely on yourself to follow through. That's a confidence no one can take from you. By the end of 6 months, you won't just see progress in the specific area you targeted. You'll notice it in your overall mindset, in the way you handle challenges, and in the pride you feel about the way you live your days. That's the true reward of setting a non-negotiable daily action. You become the kind of person who gets things done, not just when it's convenient, but every single day.
Chapter 3. Replace one harmful habit with a better choice today. If you want to see real change in your life, you can't just add good habits on top of bad ones. You have to identify what is holding you back and replace it with something that moves you forward. A harmful habit isn't just something you do that wastes time or drains energy. It's a behavior that works against the life you say you want. It can be small and subtle, or it can be obvious and destructive. Either way, if it's left alone, it keeps you stuck in the same patterns year after year. The fastest way to start improving is to remove one harmful habit and replace it immediately with a better choice that serves you. This process starts with honesty. You have to face the reality of what you're doing each day. Many people protect their harmful habits by pretending they're not a big deal. They tell themselves they can stop anytime, or they minimize the impact it's having. But the truth is, every habit has a cost or a benefit. If it's costing you energy, focus, health, money, or peace of mind, then it's keeping you from a better version of yourself. Until you admit that, nothing changes. To find the habit you need to replace, pay attention to where you feel the most frustration in your life. It might be constantly scrolling through your phone when you should be working. It might be skipping exercise even though you know you need it. It could be overcommitting to people and never leaving time for yourself. Whatever it is, it's creating a result you don't want, and as long as you keep doing it, you'll keep getting the same result. Once you've identified the habit, don't just try to stop it. The human mind struggles with simply removing a behavior without filling the space it leaves behind. If you try to eliminate a habit without replacing it, you leave a gap, and that gap pulls you back into old routines. That's why the key is to replace it with a better choice. Something that gives you a similar reward but leads to growth instead of decline. If you tend to waste the first hour of your morning scrolling on your phone, replace that with an activity that sets the tone for the day. Maybe exercise, reading something that builds your mind, or planning your top priorities. If you tend to spend money on impulse buys, replace that impulse with transferring money into a savings account or investing in something useful. If you constantly eat junk food out of habit, replace it with a healthier option that's still convenient but fuels your body. The goal is to give yourself a new behavior that you can turn to automatically instead of falling back into the harmful one. One important factor is to make the better choice easy to start. If you choose a replacement that's too complicated or time-consuming, you'll resist it, especially in the moments when you feel the urge for the old habit. Prepare in advance, so the better choice is ready when you need it. If your habit is late-night snacking, have healthy food available, and remove the junk from your home. If your habit is wasting time online, set up website blockers and have a list of productive tasks ready so you can switch instantly. Replacing a harmful habit takes awareness. You have to catch yourself in the moment before you act on the old habit. That's where many people slip, they act automatically without thinking. You can train yourself to pause even for just a few seconds and ask, "Is this taking me closer to or further from my goal?" That pause gives you the power to choose the better option. Over time, that pause becomes a natural part of your thought process, and the harmful habit loses its control over you. The first few days of replacing a habit can feel uncomfortable. Your brain is wired to seek familiarity, even when the familiar thing isn't good for you. You'll feel the pull toward the old habit because it's easy and automatic. This is where commitment matters. You have to push through those early urges and remind yourself why you're making this change. Focus on the benefits of the better choice and the pain of staying stuck in the old one. When you replace a harmful habit with a better one, you're not just improving that part of your life, you're proving to yourself that you have control over your behavior. You're showing yourself that you're capable of making intentional choices instead of running on autopilot. That builds self-respect, and self-respect leads to higher standards in every area of life. It's also important to track your progress. Write down each day you successfully choose the better option. Seeing that progress builds momentum and gives you a sense of accomplishment. If you slip, don't use it as an excuse to give up. Learn from it. Ask yourself what triggered the old habit and how you can prepare better next time. Every time you get back on track, you strengthen your ability to stick with the new habit long term. Over time, the better choice becomes your default. At first it takes effort and conscious thought, but eventually it becomes automatic, just like the old habit was. This is when you realize the real power of replacement. You've not only removed something harmful, you've built something beneficial that will continue to pay off without constant effort. One mistake people make is trying to replace too many habits at once. If you try to overhaul everything, you'll spread your attention too thin. Focus on one major harmful habit and replace it fully before moving to the next. 6 months is enough time to completely eliminate and replace at least one major habit, and once you do that, you'll have the confidence and skill to handle others. Replacing a harmful habit isn't just about discipline, it's about identity. You're deciding that the person you want to be does not engage in the old behavior. Each time you choose the better option, you're living as that person, and with enough repetition, it stops feeling like a choice. It becomes who you are. You may face resistance from people who are used to your old habits, especially if they share them. If you used to drink with friends every weekend, and now you choose healthier activities, some might question you or try to pull you back in. This is where you have to stand firm. You don't owe anyone an explanation beyond the fact that you're improving your life. People who truly support you will respect your decision. As you progress, take time to reflect on the difference the new habit is making. Notice the changes in your mood, your energy, your productivity, and your overall sense of control. That awareness keeps you motivated and reinforces your commitment. The better choice starts to feel rewarding on its own. And eventually the old habit loses its appeal completely. By replacing even one harmful habit with a better choice, you set off a chain reaction. You gain time, energy, focus and confidence. You stop sabotaging yourself and start building yourself. 6 months from now, you could be living with a habit that strengthens you every day instead of one that holds you back. The only thing standing between you and that reality is the choice you make today. Chapter 4. Give your top priority the first hour of every morning. The first hour of your morning has the power to decide the tone of your entire day. If you spend it on distractions or tasks that don't matter, you'll find yourself playing catch-up for the rest of the day. But if you give that first hour to your most important priority, you take control from the very start. That first hour is your peak moment of focus. Your mind is clear, your energy is fresh, and your willpower is at its highest. When you use it on what matters most, you make faster progress than you would by working on the same thing at any other time of the day. Your top priority is the one thing that will make the biggest difference in your life if you work on it consistently. It's not the easiest task, and it's not the one that gives you instant gratification. It's the one that moves you closest to the future you want. Most people know what this priority is, but they leave it for later in the day. They tell themselves they'll get to it after they check their messages, after they handle a few quick errands, after they've warmed up with some easier work. But later in the day, distractions multiply, energy drops and willpower weakens. What's left for that top priority is scraps of time and scraps of effort. If you want real results, you have to reverse that order. You put the most important thing first. You don't check your phone, you don't open your email, you don't let other people's problems set your agenda. You start the day working for yourself on your own terms, before the rest of the world can pull you in different directions. This is about taking ownership of your time before anyone else can claim it. To make this work, you have to be clear about what your top priority is. It can't change every morning based on your mood. If you change it constantly, you'll just be reacting to whatever feels urgent, instead of doing what's truly important. Decide ahead of time what you'll be working on in that first hour. If you have a long-term goal, break it into specific steps and focus on those steps one at a time during this time block. Giving your top priority the first hour means you have to prepare the night before. You should know exactly where you'll start when you wake up. If you waste time in the morning deciding what to do, you'll lose the momentum that comes from starting quickly. Preparation removes hesitation. If your priority is writing, have your workspace ready, notes in place, and your tools set up. If your priority is studying, have your materials laid out so you can begin immediately. The smoother your start, the easier it is to get into deep focus. Protecting this first hour takes discipline. You'll be tempted to use it for catching up on messages, scrolling through updates, or doing smaller tasks that give you quick satisfaction. You have to recognize those temptations as distractions that steal your progress. This is your hour for building your future, not maintaining your comfort. Every time you protect it, you're proving that your goals matter more than your impulses. You'll notice that when you use this first hour well, you approach the rest of your day with a sense of accomplishment. You've already done the most important thing before many people have even started their day. That confidence affects how you handle challenges later on. Instead of feeling behind, you feel ahead, and that shift in mindset makes you more decisive and less reactive. Some people argue they're not morning people and prefer to work on their priorities later in the day. The problem with that approach is that life rarely leaves you uninterrupted time in the afternoon or evening. Unexpected calls, last-minute tasks, social obligations. These things creep into your schedule and push your priorities to tomorrow. The first hour of the morning is the only time you can truly control without interference from the outside world. That's why it's so valuable. At first, giving your top priority the first hour will require adjusting your routine. You might have to wake up earlier, go to bed earlier, or cut back on late-night habits that waste your energy. It's an adjustment, but it's worth it. You're trading a little comfort for a lot of progress. Over time, your mind and body adapt, and you start to look forward to that first hour as the most powerful part of your day. You have to treat this hour as sacred time. That means no multitasking, no background distractions, and no dividing your attention between the priority and something else. The point is to give your best energy to one thing, not to spread it thin. Single tasking during this hour allows you to go deeper into your work, and that depth is what produces breakthroughs and real results. If you're serious about this, you'll find ways to keep that hour uninterrupted. That might mean setting boundaries with the people around you, letting them know you're unavailable during that time. It might mean putting your phone in another room or turning off notifications completely. Small changes like this protect your focus and make the hour far more productive. The results of this habit build up faster than you expect. If you spend one focused hour each morning on your top priority for 6 months, you'll have invested roughly 180 hours into your most important work. That's 180 hours without distraction, without delay, without excuses. Few people ever give their goals that kind of concentrated attention, which is why so few see the results they want. You'll also discover that starting your day with meaningful work changes how you feel about yourself. You begin to see yourself as someone who takes control, someone who puts action before comfort, someone who can be trusted to follow through. That identity shift makes it easier to keep the habit going, because it's not just what you do, it's who you are. The first hour doesn't have to be perfect to be powerful. Some mornings you'll feel sharp and produce amazing work. Other mornings you'll feel slow and unfocused, but showing up and doing the work anyway is what counts. Even on your worst days, that hour moves you forward. And the truth is, the habit you build by showing up consistently matters more than the quality of any single session. As you stick with it, you'll likely notice other areas of your life improving. The discipline you practice in the first hour starts to spill over into your decisions later in the day. You become less likely to waste time, more intentional about your commitments, and more aware of what truly matters. That's the compounding effect of starting strong. It influences everything else. If you ever feel tempted to give up this habit, remind yourself of the alternative. Without this first hour, your top priority will compete with everything else for attention. And in that competition, urgent but unimportant tasks will win most of the time. That's how months and years pass without making real progress on what matters most to you. Protecting that first hour ensures that no matter what else happens in the day, you've already made progress on the thing that matters most. 6 months of this practice can transform your life. You'll see visible results in your work, your skills, your mindset, and your confidence. You'll have proof that focused, intentional effort works better than scattered, reactionary effort. And you'll know that you control how your day begins, and by controlling that, you've taken the first step in controlling how your life unfolds.
Chapter 5. Say no to anything that does not support your plan. If you want to reach your goal in 6 months, you can't say yes to everything. Every yes you give to something that doesn't move you forward is a no to your own plan. Most people fail not because they don't have a plan, but because they keep letting other things steal their time, energy, and focus. When you say yes out of habit, guilt, or fear of disappointing others, you end up living someone else's schedule instead of your own. If you want to succeed, you have to protect your priorities, and that starts with learning to say no without hesitation. Saying no isn't about being selfish or cold. It's about understanding that your time and attention are limited, and you have to invest them where they matter most. Every day you're faced with requests, someone needs help with a task, an invitation to an event, a new opportunity that sounds exciting but isn't aligned with your focus. If you don't decide in advance what matters most to you, all of these requests will seem equally important, and you'll end up overcommitted. The first step is clarity. You have to be clear about your plan, so you can instantly recognize what supports it and what doesn't. Without that clarity, you'll spend too much time deciding in the moment, and in the moment it's easy to agree to things you later regret. When you know your exact direction, the decision becomes simple. If it helps, it's a yes. If it doesn't, it's a no. It's not always easy to say no, especially when the request comes from someone you care about. People often pressure you without even realizing it. They may think you have more time than you do, or assume you can easily fit something in. That's why you have to set boundaries and stick to them. When you say yes to things that don't matter, you're saying no to the work that does. You're letting your progress slip away one small decision at a time. One of the most powerful changes you can make is to pause before answering any request. You don't have to give an immediate response. Take a moment, think about your plan, and ask yourself, will this move me closer to my goal? If the answer is no, be honest and decline. You don't have to explain in detail why, you simply state that you're not available or that you can't commit right now. Clear, respectful communication is better than saying yes and later resenting it. There's a mental shift that happens when you start saying no to things that don't support your plan. You begin to realize how much of your life was being spent on the wrong thing. You start seeing patterns: unplanned meetings, unimportant errands, time-consuming habits, and social obligations that add no real value to your life. By cutting these out, you free up hours of your day, and those hours can be redirected toward building your future. It's not just about time, it's about energy. Some requests might not take long, but they drain your mental or emotional energy. That energy is then unavailable for the work that matters. Protecting your energy is just as important as protecting your time. When you say no to activities or people who leave you drained, you have more capacity to give your best effort to the things that truly count. This also means you need to recognize distractions disguised as opportunities. Not everything that looks good is good for you right now. An offer might be exciting, but if it doesn't align with your current focus, it will only slow you down. Opportunities will always be there in the future, but this six-month window is limited. You have to be ruthless about what you let in. You'll also find that saying no earns respect. People start to understand that your time is valuable. They see you as someone who is committed, someone who doesn't get pulled off track easily. At first, some might be surprised or even disappointed, but over time they'll recognize that you're serious about your goals. That seriousness sets a standard, not just for how others treat you, but for how you treat yourself. The habit of saying no also strengthens your discipline. It trains you to think long-term instead of chasing short-term comfort or approval. When you decline something that might be fun or flattering in the moment, but doesn't serve your plan, you're building the ability to choose growth over instant gratification. That discipline carries over into every area of your life. Of course, there will be situations where saying yes is the right choice. Helping someone in genuine need, seizing a rare chance that directly advances your plan, or doing something meaningful for a loved one. The key is that these decisions are intentional, not automatic. You're choosing them because they align with your values and priorities, not because you feel pressured or because you didn't think it through. As you practice saying no, you'll notice your schedule becoming lighter, but more powerful. Instead of being filled with random tasks and scattered activities, your days will be built around actions that actually move you toward your goal. This creates momentum, and momentum creates results faster than you expect. One helpful approach is to create a short list of your current top priorities and keep it visible. When a request or opportunity comes your way, compare it to the list. If it doesn't match, it's an automatic no. This removes doubt and makes the decision process quick and stress-free. You're not deciding based on feelings, you're deciding based on a clear standard you've already set. You may also need to adjust your environment. If you're surrounded by people who constantly pull you into things that don't matter, you'll spend a lot of energy resisting. But if you spend more time with people who respect your time and share your values, it becomes easier to stay focused. The environment you choose will either support your plan or compete with it. Over 6 months, the impact of this habit is dramatic. You'll look back and realize that your biggest breakthroughs didn't just come from the things you said yes to. They came from the things you had the courage to say no to. Every no you give to distractions, obligations, and empty activities is a yes to progress, growth, and result. The truth is, most people don't fail because they lack the ability to succeed. They fail because they keep giving their time and energy to the wrong things. They say yes to everything, and in doing so, they say no to themselves. If you can reverse that pattern, if you can make your yes rare and valuable, you'll create a life that's built on intention instead of reaction. The choice is simple, but it's not easy. Every day you'll face moments where saying yes would be more comfortable. But if you can train yourself to put your plan first, to protect it from anything that doesn't serve it, you'll achieve in 6 months what most people can't achieve in years. And you'll do it because you had the discipline to say no when it mattered most. Chapter 6. Track your effort daily so you can see real progress. If you want to know whether your plan is working, you can't rely on memory or vague impressions. You have to track your effort every single day. Without tracking, it's too easy to fool yourself into thinking you're doing more than you really are. You might remember the days you worked hard, but you'll forget the days you skipped, cut corners, or moved slowly. Progress can feel invisible if you're not measuring it, and when you can't see progress, motivation fades. Tracking your effort changes that. It turns progress into something you can see, touch, and measure, which keeps you engaged and committed. Tracking daily effort is different from tracking results. Results can take time to show up. If your goal is to lose weight, the scale might not change for weeks, even if you're eating right and exercising. If your goal is to grow a business, sales might not come immediately, even when you're working every day. If you only track results, you risk getting discouraged when those results are delayed. But when you track effort, you see wins every single day. You can say, "I showed up, I did the work, I kept the promise I made to myself." That creates confidence and momentum even before the big results arrive. The act of recording what you've done also makes you more accountable. When you know you'll have to write down whether you completed your task for the day, you're less likely to skip it. It creates a simple form of self-pressure, the kind that pushes you to follow through even when it's inconvenient. This kind of accountability works because it's visible. If you see a streak of days filled with checkmarks, you'll fight to keep it going. If you see gaps, you'll feel the urge to fix them. Tracking also reveals patterns you can't see in the moment. Over time, you'll notice trends. Certain days when you're more productive, certain times of day when your energy is higher, and certain triggers that cause you to slow down. With that information, you can make better decisions about how to structure your day and where to focus your effort. You're not guessing anymore. You're working with real data about yourself. The method you use to track doesn't have to be complicated. It could be a notebook, a calendar, a spreadsheet, or an app. The important part is that it's consistent and easy to use. If tracking feels like a chore, you won't stick with it. Keep it simple, record what you did, how long you did it, and maybe a quick note about how it went. Those small entries will add up to a powerful record of your commitment. To make this habit stick, decide when you'll track your effort each day. Many people do it right after completing their main task, so the action and the tracking are linked. Others prefer to review their whole day at night and log everything at once. Choose the timing that you'll follow without fail, because the habit is only effective if it's done daily. One of the biggest benefits of tracking effort is how it changes your mindset about progress. Instead of seeing success as a distant finish line, you start to see it as something you build one day at a time. Each entry in your log is proof that you're moving forward. That shift from vague hope to concrete evidence is what keeps you working when the excitement wears off. Tracking also helps you set realistic goals. If you've been aiming to work 3 hours a day on your project, but your log shows you're consistent in doing only 1 hour, you can adjust your plan. That doesn't mean lowering your standards. It means being honest about where you are and building from there. The more honest you're tracking, the more effective your adjustments will be. You'll also find that tracking effort creates a sense of competition with yourself. You'll want to beat yesterday's numbers or at least match them. That self-competition is healthy because it's focused on improving your own performance rather than comparing yourself to others. It's about being better than you were last week, last month, and last year. There's another advantage. Tracking turns abstract effort into something tangible you can review and celebrate. At the end of a week, you can look back and see exactly what you accomplished. At the end of a month, you can see the hours you invested and the consistency you maintained. Without tracking, all of that work might blend into memory and lose its power. With tracking, it becomes a visible record of your dedication. Sometimes you'll have days when your tracked effort is lower than you want. Instead of feeling defeated, use those numbers to ask important questions. What happened? Was it a lack of time, energy, focus, or motivation? Did something unexpected interfere with your plan? The answers will help you prepare better for the future. This is how tracking turns setbacks into lessons, instead of letting them become long-term slumps. You also gain the ability to celebrate small wins properly. Many people overlook these because they're focused only on the final outcome. But when you see that you've hit your daily target for 10 days straight, that's worth recognizing. Celebrating small wins fuels the desire to keep going, and the tracking system makes those wins visible. Over time, you'll notice something powerful. Tracking your effort doesn't just measure progress, it improves it. The very act of writing down your actions makes you more intentional about them. You start thinking ahead about what you'll record at the end of the day, and that anticipation pushes you to do the work. You're no longer drifting through your schedule, you're acting with purpose because you know every choice counts. This habit also helps during times when motivation is low. On days when you feel like you're getting nowhere, you can look back at your log and see the truth: you have been working, and you have been moving forward. That proof can be the push you need to keep going, instead of giving up. In 6 months, a complete record of your effort becomes one of your most valuable tools. You'll be able to see exactly how much work you put in, where you were most effective, and where you need improvement. It's not just a diary of actions, it's a map of how you built your success. And because you've tracked effort, not just results, you'll have confidence in your ability to keep succeeding, even in new areas. Many people think they'll remember their effort without writing it down, but the reality is that memory is unreliable. The mind tends to overestimate effort when the work feels hard, and underestimate it when the work is enjoyable. Tracking removes that bias. It tells the truth without exaggeration, and that truth is what you need if you're serious about growth. If you start tracking your effort daily now, you won't just see progress, you'll feel more in control of it. You'll know exactly what's working and what's not. You'll be able to adjust your actions instead of guessing. You'll stay consistent because you can see your own discipline building day after day, and you'll have the satisfaction of looking back after 6 months and knowing, without question, that you earned your results through deliberate, measurable action. Chapter 7. Push yourself to finish tasks even when you feel tired. One of the most important skills you can build in these 6 months is the ability to finish what you start, even when you don't feel like it. Tiredness is inevitable. You will have days when your energy drops, when your body feels heavy, when your mind wants to shut down. Most people stop when that moment comes. They tell themselves they'll finish later, but later often never comes. The difference between average results and extraordinary results often comes down to how you act when you feel that wave of fatigue. If you train yourself to keep going and close the loop on your tasks, you develop a kind of strength that changes your entire life. Finishing when tired is not about pushing recklessly until you collapse. It's about building the discipline to follow through on commitments, even when comfort is pulling you in the opposite direction. Every time you finish a task in that state, you're telling your mind and body, "We don't quit just because it's uncomfortable." That message builds a habit of persistence. The next time you feel tired, you'll remember that you've pushed through before, and it will be easier to do it again. The challenge is that when you're tired, your mind starts offering convincing excuses. It tells you the work won't be good if you're drained, that you've done enough for the day, that you deserve to stop. Those thoughts can sound reasonable, but they're not aligned with your bigger goal. The truth is, most of the time you still have enough energy to finish, you just don't feel like it. This is where your commitment has to outweigh your feelings. One way to build this habit is to set a rule for yourself. If you start something important, you finish it before you stop. That might mean pushing through the last 20 minutes of a workout, completing the final section of a report, or finishing the last steps of a project you planned for the day. By sticking to this rule, you remove the option of leaving things half done. This forces you to manage your energy better and keeps you from creating a backlog of incomplete work. When you stop the moment you feel tired, you train your mind to see tiredness as a signal to quit. Over time, that threshold gets lower and lower. Soon you'll find yourself stopping earlier and earlier, even when you have more to give. But when you make a habit of finishing anyway, you raise that threshold. You teach yourself that feeling tired is not a valid reason to abandon your work. It's simply a signal that you're pushing into a zone where growth happens. It's important to remember that pushing through tiredness is not just about the immediate task, it's about your long-term identity. Each time you do it, you strengthen the belief that you're the kind of person who follows through no matter how you feel. That belief becomes part of your self-image, and it affects every area of your life. You start approaching challenges with the mindset that you'll see them through, not just when it's easy, but especially when it's difficult. To make this easier, you can break tasks into smaller sections. When you're feeling drained, the idea of finishing a huge task can feel overwhelming. But if you focus on finishing just one small section at a time, you can keep making progress until the work is done. This approach keeps your mind from getting stuck on how much is left and allows you to focus on what's directly in front of you. There's also value in recognizing that the satisfaction of completing a task often outweighs the discomfort of working while tired. You might dread those final steps in the moment, but once the work is done, you feel a surge of pride and relief. That positive feeling reinforces the habit, making it more likely you'll push through next time. If you stop early, you miss that satisfaction, and instead you carry the mental weight of unfinished work into the next day. Managing your environment can help you finish when fatigue hits. Reduce distractions so you can stay locked in during those final minutes. Have water or a small snack nearby to boost your energy if needed. Stand up, stretch, or take a brief movement break to reset your focus before diving back in. Small adjustments like these can give you just enough of a lift to get the job done. Another effective method is to remind yourself why the task matters. Fatigue can narrow your focus to the immediate discomfort, making you forget the bigger picture. Take a moment to reconnect with the reason you started. Whether it's improving your health, advancing your career, or building something meaningful, your why can give you the extra push to finish strong. The discipline to finish when tired also prepares you for high-pressure situations. In life, you will face moments when quitting is not an option. Deadlines, emergencies, critical opportunities. If you've trained yourself to keep going in everyday situations, you'll be ready when it truly matters. You won't panic, and you won't waste time doubting yourself. You'll know from experience that you can push past fatigue and deliver when it counts. Over 6 months, this habit compounds in powerful ways. Each time you complete a task despite being tired, you're adding to a record of win. That record becomes a source of confidence you can draw on when you face bigger challenges. You stop seeing tiredness as a wall and start seeing it as a temporary obstacle you know how to move through. You also begin to manage your energy more wisely, knowing that you will finish what you start. You'll plan your tasks more carefully. You'll prioritize better, pace yourself more effectively, and avoid wasting energy on things that don't matter. This makes your efforts more efficient and increases the amount you can accomplish without burning out. It's worth noting that this habit is built through repetition, not occasional bursts of willpower. You have to practice it daily, even on small tasks. Finish the email you're writing before getting up. Wash the dishes you started instead of leaving them for late. Complete the last few reps of your workout instead of stopping early. These small moments add up to a mindset of completion that carries into the big goals. The mental toughness you develop from this will spill into other areas of life. You'll find yourself becoming more reliable, more resilient, and more confident in your ability to handle discomfort. You'll be less likely to procrastinate because you know you can handle the work, even on low energy days. And you'll start to view challenges as opportunities to prove your strength instead of threats to your comfort. Finishing when you're tired is not about ignoring your limits, it's about redefining them. Most people stop well before they've truly reached their limit. By challenging yourself to go a little further each time, you expand what you're capable of. That expansion is where growth happens. Over time, you'll find that tasks that once felt exhausting are now easier to complete, simply because you've raised your endurance, both mental and physical. If you commit to this for the next 6 months, you'll not only reach more of your goals, you'll change the way you see yourself. You'll know that you can be counted on to deliver, no matter how you feel in the moment. That kind of self-trust is rare, and it's one of the most valuable assets you can have in life. When you can rely on yourself to finish what you start, you open the door to achievements that most people never experience, not because they lack the ability, but because they stop too soon.
Chapter 8. Spend time only with people who push you to improve. The people you choose to spend time with have a direct impact on how far you go in life. If you surround yourself with those who settle for less, avoid challenges and discourage growth, their habits and attitudes will slowly influence you. It might happen without you even noticing, but over time you'll start thinking, acting, and aiming like the people you're around most. That's why, if you want the next 6 months to transform your life, you have to be intentional about your circle. Spend your time with people who push you to improve. People who expect more from you than you might expect from yourself. People who challenge your thinking, and people whose example forces you to raise your standards. When you're around individuals who are committed to growth, you feel an unspoken pressure to match their effort. It's not about competition, it's about an environment that makes excellence feel normal. When others are reading, learning, training, building and following through on their plans, it's much harder to justify laziness or excuses. Their discipline, focus, and consistency become a reminder of what's possible, and that reminder shapes your own behavior. On the other hand, time spent with those who lack ambition often turns into wasted hours, filled with distractions, gossip or habits that pull you away from your goals. You might tell yourself that you can rise above it, but human nature works differently. We tend to adapt to the people we're closest to. If you're in a group where mediocrity is accepted, it's only a matter of time before you start accepting it too. That's why you can't leave this to chance. You must choose your circle with the same care you choose your goals. The first step is to be honest about the influence people have on you. Think about the conversations you have with them. Do they leave you motivated, with new ideas and a desire to take action? Or do they leave you drained, doubtful, or distracted? Pay attention to their habits. Are they improving themselves, building something meaningful, or constantly finding reasons to avoid responsibility? Your environment will either accelerate your growth or slow it to a crawl. Spending time with people who push you to improve doesn't mean they have to be perfect. It means they're striving. They're not content with staying the same year after year. They set goals, they face challenges, and they take action even when it's uncomfortable. They talk about ideas, not just problems. They hold themselves to a higher standard and encourage others to do the same. When you're around people like this, you can't help but grow because they won't let you stay stuck. This might mean reducing time with certain people, even if you've known them for years. That can be difficult, but protecting your growth requires making hard decisions. If someone constantly distracts you from your priorities, mocks your ambitions, or tries to keep you at their level, their presence will cost you more than you realize. You can still care for them, but you can't allow them to dominate your time. At the same time, you have to actively seek out those who challenge you. This could mean joining a group, a class, or a community of people working towards similar goals. It could mean finding mentors who have achieved what you want to achieve and learning from them. It could be as simple as spending more time with a friend who's driven and disciplined. The goal is to make sure that the voices around you are lifting you higher, not pulling you down. When you connect with people who push you to improve, you also open yourself up to valuable feedback. They won't just tell you what you want to hear, they'll tell you what you need to hear. They'll point out blind spots, challenge weak habits, and hold you accountable to your own standards. At first, that can feel uncomfortable, but it's one of the fastest ways to grow. The truth spoken by someone who wants the best for you can be more valuable than 100 empty compliments. You'll also find that people who push you to improve often lead by example rather than word. Watching them handle challenges, manage their time, or pursue their goals teaches you things you can't learn from books alone. Their actions demonstrate discipline, patience, and persistence in a way that sinks into your own approach to life. Over the next 6 months, every hour you spend will either move you closer to your goals or pull you further away. That includes the hours spent in conversation, in shared activities, and even in silence with the people around you. If those hours are filled with examples of commitment, learning, and progress, you'll find yourself naturally adopting those same qualities. If they're filled with avoidance, complaints, and distractions, you'll drift off course no matter how strong your intentions are. It's not enough to simply avoid negative influences. You have to immerse yourself in positive ones. This might require stepping outside your comfort zone, reaching out to new people, or putting yourself in environments where you're the least experienced or least skilled person in the room. That can be intimidating, but it's also where you grow the fastest. When you're surrounded by people ahead of you, you learn to rise to meet their level. Be prepared for the fact that some people won't understand this choice. They might think you're being distant or arrogant, but you're not cutting people out because you think you're better. You're doing it because you're serious about becoming better. The reality is that if you succeed, you may inspire them to change, but if you stay stuck with them, neither of you will move forward. The right people will challenge you, but they'll also support you. They'll celebrate your wins without jealousy. They'll encourage you when you doubt yourself. They'll remind you why you started when you're tempted to quit. And when you're tempted to lower your standards, they'll be the ones who remind you that you're capable of more.
Over time, you'll notice that your own mindset shifts. You'll start to think bigger, act faster, and demand more from yourself. You'll become more comfortable with discomfort because you'll see it as a normal part of improvement. You'll have higher standards for your own work and for the way you use your time. And most importantly, you'll become the kind of person who pushes others to improve just by being in their presence. By the end of 6 months, this change in your circle can create one of the most profound transformations in your life. Your skills will grow faster, your confidence will strengthen, your perspective will expand, and you'll realize that success is not just about what you do, it's also about who you do it with. The people you choose will either make the climb easier or harder, and the choice is yours every single day.
Chapter 9. End each day by reviewing what actually got done. If you want to make the most of each day and stay on track for 6 months of real progress, you have to end every evening with an honest review of what you actually accomplished, not what you plan to do, not what you hope to get done, but what you truly completed. This habit forces you to face the truth about how you're using your time. It removes the illusions and excuses that can make you feel productive when you're really just busy. A clear end-of-day review is one of the fastest ways to spot where you're falling short and where you're winning. Many people go to bed thinking about what they didn't do or telling themselves they'll do better tomorrow, but they don't take the time to study what actually happened. Without that reflection, the same mistakes repeat. You waste time in the same places, you get caught in the same distractions, and you carry the same unfinished tasks into the next day. The review changes that because it forces you to see patterns. If you're not progressing, the reasons will start to show up clearly in your nightly notes. The process is simple but powerful. At the end of the day, sit down and write out exactly what you did toward your main goals. Be specific. Worked on project is vague. Wrote 2 pages for the report is clear. The more detail you include, the more valuable your review will be. Alongside what you accomplished, note the things you planned to do but didn't. Ask yourself why they didn't get done. Was it poor planning? Unexpected interruptions? A lack of focus? This honesty can feel uncomfortable at first, but it's necessary if you want to make consistent improvements. One of the greatest benefits of a daily review is how it strengthens your accountability. You can't hide from your own written record. If you've wasted hours, it will be there in black and white. That reality check can be uncomfortable, but it also becomes motivation to tighten your focus the next day. Over time, the desire to write down meaningful accomplishments will push you to make better use of your hours. This habit also helps you end the day with clarity instead of mental clutter. When you write down what got done, your brain doesn't have to keep holding onto it. You go to bed knowing exactly where you stand and what needs attention tomorrow. That mental closure improves your sleep and helps you wake up with a clear sense of direction. A review isn't just about pointing out what didn't get done, it's also about recognizing your wins. Too often, people skip over their achievements and go straight to criticizing themselves. But when you acknowledge what you've accomplished, no matter how small, you build momentum. It reminds you that you are making progress, and that keeps your motivation alive during longer projects. Another advantage is how this habit improves your decision-making. By looking back at your day, you'll see which activities gave you the biggest results and which ones wasted your time. You can start removing low-value tasks and giving more time to high-value ones. This simple shift can create major progress over 6 months because it keeps you focused on what matters most. It's important to keep your review grounded in facts, not feelings. There will be days when you feel like you didn't do much, but when you list everything out, you realize you accomplished more than you thought. Other days you might feel busy, but your list will show you that very little of that busyness moved you toward your goal.
This clarity is what separates real productivity from the illusion of productivity. Your review can also include quick notes about what helped you stay on track and what pulled you off course. Maybe starting your day with your top priority worked well. Maybe checking your phone too early in the morning set you back. These observations help you fine-tune your habits so that each day builds on the last. To make the habit stick, set a specific time for your review. It could be the last thing you do before leaving your workspace, or it could be part of your bedtime routine. The key is consistency. When it becomes a normal part of your day, it stops feeling like an extra task and starts feeling like the natural way to close out your work. If you want to take it a step further, you can use your review to plan the next day. Once you see what's been done and what's still pending, you can set your priorities for tomorrow. This ensures you wake up knowing exactly where to start, which eliminates wasted time in the morning. 6 months of consistent end-of-day reviews will give you a detailed record of your journey. You'll be able to look back and see how far you've come, what strategies worked best, and where you made the most progress. You'll also see the turning points, those moments when you adjusted something based on your review and your results started improving. This record becomes more than just a log. It becomes proof that steady, intentional effort works. There's also a mental benefit to closing the day with intention. Instead of letting the day blur into the next, you create a clear boundary. You acknowledge the work you've done, you learn from it, and you set yourself up for the next round. That rhythm creates a sense of control and stability, even when life is busy. You may be surprised by how much this habit affects your self-respect. When you hold yourself accountable every night, you build trust in your own word. You stop making vague promises to do better and start making specific plans that you follow through on. That self-trust is a critical part of long-term success, because without it, your goals are just wishes. It's worth noting that the review doesn't have to take long. Even 5 to 10 minutes of honest reflection can make a huge difference. The point isn't to write an essay, it's to clearly see where you are so you can take the next best step. The more you practice, the faster and more natural it becomes. Over time, this habit changes how you approach your day. You become more aware of how you spend your time, because you know you'll be reviewing it later. That awareness alone leads to better choices. You start asking yourself during the day, "Will I be proud to write this down tonight?" That simple question can pull you back on track when you're tempted to waste time. By the end of 6 months, you'll have trained yourself to live with greater awareness and intentionality. You'll know exactly where your time is going. You'll make faster adjustments when something isn't working, and you'll have a deeper understanding of what it takes to keep moving forward. Ending each day with a review isn't just about tracking progress. It's about building the discipline to live each day on purpose, rather than letting it pass without meaning. And when you stack that kind of day on top of day, the transformation is inevitable.
Chapter 10. Decide your next move before you go to sleep. If you want each day to start with clarity and purpose, the decision about what you'll do next has to be made before your head hits the pillow. When you go to sleep without a clear plan, you wake up reacting to whatever grabs your attention first. That usually means checking messages, scrolling through distractions, or tackling small, low-value tasks because they're easy. By the time you think about your real priorities, part of your energy and focus has already been spent. But when you decide your next move the night before, you eliminate that morning hesitation. You wake up knowing exactly where to start, and that focus gives you an immediate advantage. Deciding your next move in advance also removes a major source of stress. Uncertainty about what to do wastes mental energy. You might not even realize it, but your brain works harder when it's faced with too many choices at once. If you wake up to an undefined day, you start burning energy just trying to figure out what's important. That decision-making drain can leave you feeling sluggish before you've even begun meaningful work.
A clear plan set the night before removes that mental friction. You don't have to debate or guess, you simply begin. The key is to be specific. Work on my project is not a next move. Write the first two sections of the report is exercise is not a next move. Run for 30 minutes at 7 a.m. Vague intentions are easy to avoid or delay because they don't carry a clear action step. Specific plans are harder to ignore because they demand a definite response. You either do them or you don't. The more precise your next move, the more likely you are to act on it. Your nighttime planning session doesn't have to be long. 10 minutes of focus is enough to decide your top priorities and define your starting point for tomorrow. That short investment can save you hours the next day. The process is simple. Review what you accomplished today, identify what still needs to be done, and choose the most important action to begin with tomorrow. That single step ensures you start with momentum instead of drifting aimlessly into the day. There's another reason this habit works so well. It leverages the power of your subconscious mind. When you decide your next move before sleep, your brain continues to work on it in the background while you rest. You might wake up with new ideas, better solutions, or a clearer perspective on how to tackle it. This advantage is lost if you wait until morning to think about what's next. It's also important to keep your plan realistic. Don't overload tomorrow with 10 different starting points. Choose one main move that sets the tone for the day. You can accomplish more after that, but starting with a single clear target ensures you hit something important before distractions take over. Over time, this builds the habit of making meaningful progress daily instead of scattering your energy in too many directions. Some people resist this habit because they prefer flexibility. They say they want to see how they feel in the morning. The problem with that approach is that feelings are unreliable. If you base your actions on how you feel, you'll often choose comfort over progress. Planning the night before removes that emotional bias. You act because you already decided to, not because you happen to feel like it in the moment. Your next move should also fit the rhythm of your life. If mornings are your highest energy time, place your most demanding task there. If you work better later in the day, you can still benefit from knowing your first action so you can prepare for it. Either way, the point is to start the day with direction, instead of letting it be decided by chance. This habit becomes even more powerful when paired with preparation. If your next move is to work out, set out your clothes and gear before bed. If it's to write, have your workspace ready so you can begin without delay. If it's to make important calls, have the numbers and notes ready to go. The fewer steps you have to take before starting, the more likely you are to follow through. Over time, you'll notice that deciding your next move before sleep changes the way you approach your evenings. Instead of letting them slip away on mindless activities, you'll end them with intention. You'll know exactly how today connects to tomorrow. And that connection gives your days a sense of flow. You're no longer starting and stopping. You're building one day directly on top of the last. This habit also strengthens your self-discipline. Each night, you make a promise to yourself about what you'll do the next day. Each morning, you have the opportunity to keep that promise. Every time you follow through, you build trust in your own work. That trust is essential for long-term success, because without it, you can't rely on yourself to do what needs to be done. It also reduces procrastination. One of the biggest causes of delay is not knowing exactly where to start. When you've already made that decision, there's nothing to think about or avoid. You simply begin. This eliminates the wasted time that comes from circling around a task without touching it. In 6 months, this small nightly habit can create massive changes. You'll waste less time in the mornings, you'll experience fewer unproductive days, and you'll get more done, simply because you're starting each day with clarity. Your work will stack more effectively because each day begins where the last one ended. That kind of continuity produces results much faster than scattered, inconsistent effort. you'll also start to notice a sense of control over your time. Instead of feeling like the day just happened to you, you'll know you shaped it before it even began. That control brings confidence, and confidence fuels action. You won't feel like you're constantly trying to catch up, you'll feel like you're setting the pace. Even when life throws unexpected events your way, having a next move planned keeps you grounded. You might have to adjust, but you won't lose all momentum because you'll still have a clear direction to return to. Without that anchor, unexpected events can completely derail your day, and it can take hours or even days to recover your focus. By deciding your next move before bed, you set a standard for yourself. You are someone who lives intentionally. You don't leave tomorrow to chance, and you don't wait for perfect conditions to act. You take ownership of your time, and in doing so, you separate yourself from the majority of people who drift through their days without a plan. If you commit to this for the full 6 months, it will become second nature. You won't even think about whether to do it. You'll simply end your day by setting up the next. And when you stack that many days in a row, each one starting with purpose and ending with intention, you'll look back and see a level of progress that wouldn't have been possible any other way. You'll have proof that small, deliberate choices made consistently can reshape not just your schedule but your entire life.